imidazole. Why is it aromatic? Because it's a combination structurally of both pyridine and pyrrole. Because the nitrogen that has the double bond, you can't have a pi bond and a p orbital both pointing at the same time the same direction. So the nitrogen that has the double bond, the lone pair, automatically has to be perpendicular, which is exactly the same as pyridine. And then the other nitrogen, the one that had the hydrogen on that, that's exactly like pyrrole, that the lone pair is able to be in a p orbital, and because it's so favorable energetically to be aromatic, it is going to end up in a p orbital. So that puts the hydrogen perpendicular, and so one lone pair is part of the cycle, one lone pair is not part of the cycle. Therefore, there's only six electrons. It's cyclic, planar, conjugated, six electrons. It's aromatic.
What if you just be like...
Now, please don't... Because I don't like to make an on-the-spot judgment call about grading and then later on unintentionally change the way I'm grading because I've forgotten what I've said just after the quiz to the point where I actually grade it. I don't want to answer, well, what if I did this, what if I did this, what if I did this? Well, you'll find out once I grade the quiz. If you're asking about the question, I'll answer that. But please don't come up in each one of you because then I have 50 people that are all expecting that I'll remember the one thing they did when I'm grading. There's no way I'm going to remember all that.
So I have a question. This nitrogen, has it sp structure or sp2?
Both nitrogens are sp2. So, and one nitrogen's automatically sp2 because it's already got the pi bond, and the other one is sp2 because the lone pair ends up part of the ring, and which is just like pyrrole. So, imidazole, the reason I chose that molecule is it has the same structural features as, again, both pyridine and pyrrole.
Sorry, so lone pair is in the pi bond.
One lone pair is. So the nitrogen that had the hydrogen on it,
right.
The one that looks sp3, but it's not, that is in a p orbital, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Now the other question, the ethyl group was just to throw you off. The ethyl group had nothing to do with that second molecule.
Okay. So for the Frost cycle, we
yes.
Don't show
it. So we don't show it. That was the reason I put the ethyl group there, to see if you all paid attention when I said you only count the things that are part of the ring. So yes, the compound has seven carbons, but you're only going to put a pentagon in that ring. Oh, dear. Okay. The Frost circle? Yes. Let me. Actually, I'm going to write that out formally when I pass the quizzes back. I'm just kind of doing it verbal at the moment.
Sorry, I have a question. So,
yes.
In the question you asked, how do you determine which one is bonding on the...
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll get to that. So let me finish answering the question. Hold on. It's not aromatic to begin with because it's not fully conjugated. Which there were so... You didn't see the yesterday's class. They could tell you. They probably came and said, wow, he was in a bad mood yesterday. Because... you've had a couple of weeks now that we've been studying this material, right? But all of a sudden, just yesterday, everybody suddenly discovered there are these terms aromatic, anti-aromatic, non-aromatic. And on top of that, they brought me that eight-sided figure, which I knew you were convinced was going to be on the quiz, which is why I didn't put it on the quiz. There's always the test. But that eight-sided figure, they were saying, so is it aromatic or... Wait, no, they knew it's not aromatic, but... is it non-aromatic or aromatic? And I said, well, it depends. They're like, what do you mean? Well, because if you force it to be flat, of course it's anti-aromatic, because that's when you end up with that eight-sided figure and the orbitals and all that nonsense. But it doesn't do that because it's unfavorable. So in real life, it has that distorted structure. So is it non-aromatic or anti-aromatic? Well, what are you talking about? Do you mean when you force it to be flat, and then yes, it is anti-aromatic? Or do you mean when it is distorted, so it doesn't have that conjugation, and so it's neither aromatic or not or anti-aromatic? What does aromatic mean? Stabilization because you make a circle. What does anti-aromatic mean? So what is the only difference in terms of the Hückel rules between aromaticity and anti-aromaticity?
That's
I'm not here. No. They all have to be conjugated. If you don't have conjugation, you won't wind up with anti-aromaticity. Anti-aromaticity, you just said it, cyclic. When you make something that's cyclically conjugated, it's destabilized. So if it's not conjugated, it can't be aromatic or anti-aromatic. So it has to be conjugated, and I just said it has to be cyclic, and it has to be planar. So what's the only thing that that determines whether something's aromatic or anti-aromatic? Number of electrons, period. So if you fill up that Frost circle, see now I'm winding my way to the Frost circle part here. So Frost circle, how do you construct it? One point goes at the bottom automatically. You have a polygon that has the same number of sides as the number of atoms in the ring. And then you chop a line straight through the middle of the circle. Any orbital that's on the line is non-bonding. Any orbital below it is bonding. Any orbital above it is anti-bonding. That's it. Now, how do we use that in this problem? Well, there are six pi electrons. They exactly fill the bonding orbitals, which is why it's aromatic. So all this 4n+2 nonsense, that's just the quickie way to memorize the rule. But otherwise, it's the fact that you fill the bonding orbitals. If you think about the cases that have ended up being anti-aromatic, at least when we force them to be anti-aromatic. So if we take that cyclobutadiene, not when it's totally stretched, but when it is symmetric and it's perfectly anti-aromatic. Or when we take that 8-membered cyclooctatetraene and we force it flat. Notice that we have more electrons than what will fill into the bonding orbital, which is why it's anti-aromatic. Now, you have a question.
Yeah. So can we say that the carbon that was attached to the hydrogen has a sp3 structure?
Yes, it does. It does start with sp3, which blocks the conjugation, which is why the molecule starts out non-aromatic.
Right, then it's not planar.
It is planar. Okay. That's just a tiny error, but it is planar, because if you have five things in a ring and four of them force the molecule to be planar, it is impossible to make the fifth one non-planar. Unless it's something like cyclooctatetraene, where it's a big enough molecule that it can distort. The five-membered ring is too small for four things to be one in position, and the last one is out in space somewhere. So it starts out non-aromatic, because it's not fully conjugated, because you do have one position that's sp3. But then once you lose the hydrogen, the lone pair becomes delocalized, it becomes aromatic, it becomes sp2 hybridized. Now, how much time we got left here? A couple minutes. Yes?
If the bonding orbital doesn't feel like completely full,
that is still not that favorable. You might have, for example, take that 5-member ring, put a plus instead of a minus. It's more favorable than an average carbocation, because you do have that delocalization. But it's not truly aromatic, because you don't have the right total number of electrons. Now, your exam is going to be Friday instead of Wednesday next week.
It was on Friday.
It was on Friday? Not according to my syllabus. Did I already move the date? Are you all just acting so nonchalant, like, of course, Dr. Gray, it was Friday. What are you talking about? Okay, well, because you've already learned practically everything that's on the test, all Monday and Wednesday is going to be is review, really. Now, I know that we have some new topics listed as well, and maybe we'll start getting into those, but we started doing orthopara with all those mechanisms, right? Oh, boy, if you don't come back from the weekend understanding those mechanisms, you're in a world of hurt, because I guarantee that that kind of problem is going to be on your exam, asking why is something activating versus deactivating? Why is something orthopara versus meta? And why are those two questions two different questions? Would you like me to repeat that again so you know what you need to be studying? So, over the weekend... Why is something going to make the ring activated versus deactivated? Why is a substituent going to make something activated versus deactivated? Why is a substituent going to cause orthopara versus meta-substitution? Again, why is something going to be an orthopara director versus a meta-director? Why are those two questions, activation, deactivation, orthopara versus meta, why are those two different questions?
Well, why is that?
You want the answer?
Yeah.
No. I'll give you the quickie answer. It's because the directing ability is entirely due to resonance. It's entirely due to delocalization. So if you go back and review those mechanisms we wrote, we found that for orthopara directors, there was a lone pair that could delocalize onto the ring to provide electron density, but in specific places on the ring, versus the meta director, which caused a bad interaction between whatever carbocation would form and that position, that substituent. And so the meta directors want to avoid that, which is why they go meta. Now, the reason that's different as far as activation and deactivation is that's due to activation energy. And it turns out that halogens, which have lone pairs and therefore can do resonance, they cause orthopara substitution because they put more electron density in certain places due to resonance. But in the case of fluorine, it's more electronegative than the density it provides through resonance. So it takes more than it gives, and so it causes a higher activation barrier, which slows the reaction down. It's still orthopara, but slower. For chlorine, it's the reverse case. Chlorine, it's not as electronegative, but it has bad orbital overlap with carbon, so it never provides as much electron density to begin with. So it does provide it through resonance, which is why it's orthopara, but it takes more than it gives, which is why it's a deactivator. There's your answer.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yes? Yes, we will have some benzene synthesis, but the synthesis might show up on the final, not the exam. The exam may still focus more on theory, because I'll tell you, you've got your activators, deactivators, and orthopara versus meta, and those people are missing out on this right now, because I'm telling you the questions on the test. Orthopara versus meta versus activator versus deactivator, and that whole hydrogenation curve thing that didn't show up on the quiz, which you know I'm going to ask about. So those are two things right there that you better know backwards, frontwards, up, down, back, and front when you come back over the weekend. But we're out of time, so have a nice weekend.